2010, Edward Rosenthal set out on a small trail in the isolated deserts of Lower California. Unknowing to him, Rosenthal would spend the next 6 days and walk 39 kilometers completely lost in the vast scorching desert canyons with barely any food or water. Edward Rosenthal was a real estate broker, poet, an experienced hiker at the age of 64. He even kept a personal journal with records of his hikes throughout his life. In 2010, Rosenthal contributed to a large real estate sale in downtown Los Angeles. And in celebration of this huge accomplishment, he decided to take a trip down to California's Joshua Tree National Park to spend a few days camping and hiking the trails. Rosenthal stayed in a nearby hotel, and on Friday morning, he drove down to the Black Rock campgrounds, where he would talk to a few campers that stayed there as well, and then set out on a short day trail along the canyons. He brought along a rimmed hiking hat, 3 liters of water, a couple of snacks, a small blanket, a whistle, and some flares. Considering the small trail he was going on, Rosenthal was actually very well prepared. He made it to the far end of the trail in just a few hours, then began making his way back down the same trail. One thing to note is that these desert landscapes are often extremely bare, sometimes looking almost identical in all directions. Without being extremely careful, it can be very easy to think you are on the right path, but actually be on a completely different one. Rosenthal stayed on the right trail for some time, but after he hadn't recognized a few areas, he eventually realized he had lost the trail. He wasn't confident he could track his way back to the trail, given the unknown landscape, and feared becoming more lost. With few options, Rosenthal took a turn in the direction he thought would intersect with the main trail. Unfortunately, this only turned him further from safety. He hiked for nearly a day and a half, going 2,000 feet down the canyons before he had run through all of his food and water. Rosenthal knew his situation was dire, and he needed to find somewhere to shelter. While he had never been in such a situation before, he knew that hiking blindly through a desert was only going to shorten his time before becoming fatally dehydrated. He found a small ravine along the canyons that provided a small area of shade. He tried using his flares, but they failed to light. After trying to call out with his whistle for several hours, Rosenthal sat against the ravine walls and waited. He would stay at that same exact spot for 4 more days. By now, Rosenthal had been lost in the desert for a total of 5 full days. He was starved, extremely dehydrated, and losing hope. During the days he had been sitting against the side of the ravine, there were no signs of a rescue in sight. Fearing he may not make it, Rosenthal took off his hat and got his writing pen from his pocket. On the rim of his hat, he wrote messages to his wife and daughter, saying how much he loved them and that he didn't want his funeral to be sad. He wanted them to party and celebrate his life rather than grieve over his death. He finished writing what he believed was his final departing message, then put his hat back on and rested his eyes. What Rosenthal didn't know was that on Saturday afternoon, at the same time that Rosenthal sat against the ravine, the hotel he checked into noticed he had not yet returned. Not long after, a camper staying at the Black Rock campground also noticed his car was still at the trailhead. Authorities were notified, and a search was set out on Sunday, 2 days after Rosenthal had taken the wrong turn. For 3 days, 60 rescuers surveyed the areas around the trail Rosenthal was said to have taken. They used helicopters, ground search teams, and search dogs. On the third day, they found a set of tracks they believed were Rosenthal's, and followed them down the canyon until they reached the ravine, where they lost the tracks. This was the same ravine that Rosenthal had taken the wrong turn at. And just on the other side, Rosenthal was writing his farewell messages on the rim of his hat. The ground search team notified the air patrol helicopters, and on Thursday morning, Rosenthal was spotted by a helicopter sitting against the ravine wall, waving shiny reflective fabric at the pilot. Rosenthal was rescued after 6 days being lost in the desert. He was treated at a nearby hospital and made a full recovery. Rosenthal's decision to stop walking and wait for a rescue very much led to his survival by conserving as much water and energy as possible. Upon returning home safely with his family, Rosenthal wrote one last entry in his hiking journal. It said, "Still here." Jimmy Hale was a relatively wealthy man living in Massachusetts in the early 1900s. In 1928, he began to grow a fascination for archaeology and fossils. His career had nothing to do with these subjects, though, nor did he have any experience in hiking. To solve this, he read several books on bushcraft and archaeology, then traveled to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas without hesitation. Although vastly underprepared, Mr. Hale thought himself an expert after his brief introduction through just a few books. Once he arrived, he hired a host to give him a temporary home to stay at, along with some guidance in the mountains. This man was Vance Randolph, who was an experienced artifact hunter in the Ozark Territory, which was a common area for prehistoric archaeology. Vance stated that in the days leading up to their expedition, Mr. Hale felt so confident that he would even try to correct Vance on his years of knowledge. Despite everything, they began their trip. They made small camps along their trail, where they would stay and try to find artifacts and fossils. After 2 weeks, they had traveled across the Ozark Range, and according to Vance, they were just 3 to 4 miles away from a nearby village. On this particular morning at the camp, Mr. Hale decided he wanted to find this village so he could make a call to his girlfriend back home. He planned to hike down to the small village, then come back up several hours before sundown. Vance stated that the trail to the village was straight and safe, and allowed Mr. Hale to go. Vance took this time as a break from having to deal with Mr. Hale's arrogance and obnoxious confidence. But, as the sun started to set, Mr. Hale had not yet returned. Still, Vance didn't believe Mr. Hale could have gotten lost in the woods during the short journey, and instead believed that he must have decided to stay the night in the village. Vance waited for a little bit, then slept alone in the camp. In the morning, he waited until noon, before he knew that Mr. Hale should have definitely been back by then. Vance traveled down to the village and found no trace of Mr. Hale having been there the night before, meaning that he had never made it to the village. More worried than before, Vance got the help of a local lumberjack named Lem, who knew the surrounding areas even better than Vance himself. After just an hour of searching, they came across a small, shallow cave just 2 miles from their camp. Inside, they found several items belonging to Mr. Hale's backpack, and were sure that this was where he had slept the night before. The cave entrance was quite a bit away from the path to the village, which only made them more uncertain of Mr. Hale's condition. Lem and Vance continued up the mountain in the direction of the camp, thinking he must have tried to go back. Not far after, they spotted Mr. Hale. As Vance describes it, Mr. Hale was shaking his head and tossing his arms wildly about. When Vance called out to him, he turned his head and stared at him as if he was threatened. He then charged at him, supposedly frothing and spitting with a complete rage in his eyes. Vance ran and ducked behind a bush, using it to keep his distance from Mr. Hale as they circled around it. After a short chase, Mr. Hale sprinted in the opposite direction, completely off the trail and into the dense woods. Lem and Vance followed his tracks and soon found Mr. Hale lying face down in a snowbank. They approached with caution, but found Mr. Hale to be completely unresponsive. Lem helped Vance carry Mr. Hale's limp body back to the village, where Lem kindly let him stay the night. On the following morning, Mr. Hale finally woke up. When questioned, Mr. Hale seemed confused and stated that he only remembered a few things. He said all he remembered was becoming lost and crossing over his own trail, then suddenly becoming extremely frightened and sprinting off into the woods. That was everything he was able to recall from the previous days. He had no memory of what caused him to be frightened or why he was acting so aggressively. Once Mr. Hale was better, he was sent back home to Massachusetts. Whatever happened to Mr. Hale on his expedition in the Ozark Mountains remains unknown. On July 6, 2018, Angela Hernandez woke up trapped in her SUV, floating in the Pacific Ocean. She had little memory of how she got there or what had happened. Angela would spend the next 7 days clinging on to her life. That same day, just minutes prior, Angela was driving down a coastal highway in central California, making her way south. It was a relatively nice day, and the drive was relaxing with a great view of the ocean. She remembers most of the drive up until this point, where she recalls seeing an animal run into the road. Her instant reaction was to swerve, but when she tried to regain control, she was unable to. Her SUV skidded over the edge, tumbling 200 feet off the cliff. The car smashed into the rocky shoreline before plummeting into the ocean. After some time of being unconscious, Angela woke up. She stated that she was still in the car and could feel water rising over her knees. She looked around, seeing the power in her car was out and the windows were rolled up. Angela quickly grabbed a multi-tool from her side and started smashing it against the window. Every bone in her body was in immense pain, and even then, she didn't know the full extent of her injuries. When she finally got the window to break, she hauled her body through the door and swam all the way to the rocky cliffside, where she passed out soon after reaching it. When Angela woke, it was still daylight, and she began to realize the situation she was in. The cliff she fell from was not in a high traffic area, and the rocky beach she was on was completely isolated. There was no way up the steep terrain, and the cliffside seemed to go on as far as she could see. Out in the distance, she saw her SUV washed up against the rocks with its roof torn off. Even despite her horrible condition, Angela began making her way along the rocks to look for help. As she walked with nothing but socks on, she could hear cars passing on the road above her, and she could see cars on the far end of the highway where the road curves around a hill. She was too far for anyone on the road to see her, though, and the highway was too loud for anyone to hear her screams. She slept on the rocks, starving, thirsty, and sunburnt. The next day, authorities were notified about Angela's unknown whereabouts, and a small search team was sent looking. They had confirmation of seeing Angela driving her SUV down the highway the day before, so that's where they began the search. Unfortunately, the heavy fog from the coast persisted for several days, making it nearly impossible for rescuers to spot her or the wreckage. But right under them, 200 feet down, Angela was fighting for her life in critical condition. She spent the next 6 days using a hose she salvaged from her car to catch dripping water off the mossy rocks on the cliffside. While only getting a few drops at a time, everything counted in that situation. Over these days, she watched helplessly from the rocks as cars passed right by her on the highway. On Friday the 13th, Chad and Chelsea, a married couple, were walking along the beach exploring the areas that nobody ever went to. At some point in the middle of the day, one of the hikers spotted a car bumper floating along the beach. They got closer, where they now saw the wreck site. The SUV was completely crumbled, and they had no idea how long it had been there. they saw no signs of anyone. The hikers were sure that whoever was in the vehicle would not have survived and likely had been swept into the ocean. Chelsea convinced her husband to check the area for bodies, just to be sure, and in his search, he spotted a woman between some rocks, partially in the water. They both ran over to Angela, giving her water and calling for a rescue. First responders showed up quickly and roped down the cliff to treat her injuries before hauling her back up and transporting her to the hospital. By the time she was rescued, Angela was suffering a brain hemorrhage, fractured collarbone and ribs, and a collapsed lung, along with other injuries. Thankfully, Angela was able to make a near full recovery after the incident.